This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. We are pleased to welcome Dr. Mark Steckbeck to the program. Dr. Steckbeck is Assistant Professor of Economics at the Lundy Fetterman School of Business at Campbell University in North Carolina. He is the author of the feature article in the winter 2014 issue of North Carolina Family Policy Council's quarterly magazine, Family North Carolina. That article is entitled The Marriage Wage Premium, The Financial and Personal Benefits of Marriage. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Steckbeck today about that article, and in particular, the economic benefits of marriage. Dr. Steckbeck, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Great. Well, we appreciate you very much and appreciate your contributions to the most recent issue of our magazine. You begin your article in Family North Carolina by noting that earning at least a four-year college degree is associated with a higher income, something known as the college wage premium. And that certainly should come as no surprise to our listeners. You also argue in the article that there is another but lesser known wage premium that is, and I will quote, nearly as significant as that enjoyed by college graduates. You call this the marriage wage premium. If you would, define what the marriage wage premium is for us and explain how it works.
Okay. With the college wage premiums, those who do get an undergraduate degree earn more than their cohorts that do not have an undergraduate degree, which makes sense if you assume that their human capital has increased. The marriage wage premium is very similar. It's just there are no socioeconomic requirements, no educational requirements. You simply get married and your income goes up by, estimates are about 30% over your unmarried cohorts who do not get married, controlling for all other factors. So males who marry earn more than those who remain single when you control for education, time on the job, hours worked per week, and things like that. So the act of marriage itself increases lifetime earnings of males.
Well, that's very interesting. And before we get in kind of to the details of the marriage wage premium, let's take a step back and look at sort of the situation across America today. Fewer Americans are getting married currently than 30 to 40 years ago. What is the marriage rate today compared to, say, 1960 or 1970? And what are some of the reasons for this decline in the rate of individuals getting married?
Well, in 1960, 70% of adults 18 and older married. They were married in 1960. By the time you get to 2010, that's fewer than 50% are married today, the adults 18 or over. You look at even, you might think if we have a delayed marriage, and we have that. People are not getting married as soon as they did before. It was about 22.6 years old in 1960, and now it's about 27.8 for males, 26.2 for females. It's around that range. And so they're delaying marriage. However, when you look at even people age 45 or over who have never married, in 1960, men over the age of 45, 6% remain unmarried. Today, that's about 10%. For women, in 1960, 5.5% over the age of 45 were never married. Today, that's about 8%. And the things that are causing that, first off, females have more employment opportunities. In 1960, you had to have brawn to work in a factory. Today, many, many women are getting math degrees, computer degrees, and they're able to compete in the workplace. But you've also had a somewhat reduced the stigma of cohabitation and out-of-wedlock births. In 1960, that was a stigma to have a child out of wedlock. So that became kind of an impetus for delaying marriage. And then once you've delayed it, many more have chosen just to not marry at all.
Well, you show in the article that the delay in marriage has had a different impact on women than on men. First, what impact has the delay in marriage had on women, and is this different for women with college degrees?
Well, with women, it is very difficult to raise a child on your own. The bigger cost for women is that you cohabit with somebody, have a child, and then the male leaves. And now you're trying to take care of a child and try to work, and that's not something that can happen. It's heavily skewed towards lesser educated women. In 2007, 8.1% of mothers with a college degree were unwed, whereas it's 65.2% for women with just a high school diploma. And the costs are really significant, not only for the mother, but for the child. There are many social problems with the child increased drug use, incarceration, drinking, dropping out of school. These have been huge effects for those who are delaying marriage. But again, it's really heavily skewed towards the lesser educated. Some are actually calling this, it's almost a discrimination against those without a college degree, but it's not, you know, you're kind of self-discriminating. You're self-selecting into cohabiting and having children out of wedlock.
Well, what about the impact on men? Why is the marriage wage premium different for men than for women?
Well, men tend to, first you have one person who tends to be the primary breadwinner in most families, and it tends to be the men. And actually, that's increased quite a bit over the years. They're now both family parents are income earners. But men who marry tend to go out and they're the primary breadwinner of the family, so they can focus on just working and not having to worry about taking care of the kids. But that's not where the premium really comes from. What they find is that premium, just the act of marriage, causes a male to be more productive. And many, many studies have been done to look at, try to isolate what the cause was to see if it's really a, you know, what was a causal relationship of marriage and the income earnings. And these studies show that the act of marriage causes men to be more productive, greater productivity increases their lifetime earnings, and therefore getting married is a simple way to increase your lifetime earnings.
Now, do you believe that marriage results in these benefits, or that there's a certain type of man who is more inclined to get married and that that type of man is more likely to also have the types of characteristics that would correlate to a financial benefit?
That's the big question that had to be solved. And I'll look at two studies that I talk about in this piece. The first one is by Ginther and Zavodny, two Federal Reserve Bank economists. And what they wanted to do, or what they did, was they figured that if you're going to plan a marriage, if you're really in that type who you were going to get married anyway, more productive men tend to get married, well, then you were going to have a wedding that was planned. And if you were not that type, you would have a wedding that was unplanned. But what they wanted to do is they want to find out maybe there are some marriages that these are the men who, you know, are very productive. They would have married anyway, but it's a shotgun wedding. You get your girlfriend pregnant, so now you have to get married quickly. And so what they did is they looked at men who got married based on the age of birth of the first child. And if it was in 6 months of the marriage, they concluded it was a shotgun wedding and found that the act of marriage, those people who got married with their children 6 months before tended to have the same increase in their income. So those people who tended to be a little more reckless still had the same income increase as those who were a little more planned. I think the better one, or the more credible study, was done by Antonovics and Town, and what they did is they looked at twin studies. They took a whole bunch of twins and looked at their age of first birth and looked at their marriage. And what they did is they isolated 31 pairs of twins who were, one was married and one was not married. So if you're really going to say that it has to do with the person, well, twins tend to have the same, you know, the genetic pool. They're going to be very productive, you know, likely productive together. But the one who married had a higher income than the one who did not marry. So they've isolated that effect that you're talking about. But again, that was always the question. Is it just that more productive males tend to get married, they're more marriageable, women go after them, or were there other characteristics? And they do find that when you control through the twin studies, it was the act of marriage that caused the increase.
That's fascinating, and it's interesting to note that there is enough recognition of this benefit out there that there are folks who are really trying to dig into it and doing extensive studies of this sort to control for various factors and gain a better understanding. A troubling trend that is contributing to the delay in marriage for many young people today is an increase in cohabitation or living together outside of marriage. How does cohabitation compare to marriage in terms of the financial benefits for both women and men?
Cohabitation doesn't do it. You would think that the cohabiting couple would have the same effect as the marriage couple, but that really isn't the case. And when you look at cohabiting couples who are college educated, they tend to get married within 5 years of living together. Those without college degree, especially those without a high school degree, tend not to. The costs are really the uncertainty. I'm married, I have a child, but marriage binds us to each other. That's a real important point of our social institutions of marriage, is it binds us to each other for emotional support, financial support, physical, mental support. Cohabiting couples don't get that same experience, and so it really has little effect in terms on the premium. The bigger things is once you have children out of wedlock and then it's a single mother because the husband left, those are much, much bigger problems. Then you have children who, again, have alcohol problems. They're more likely to live with somebody, get somebody pregnant and exit, drug use, dropping out of high school.
Well, Dr. Steckbeck, young people today are strongly encouraged to finish high school and go to college, at least for a few years, in order to be competitive in the job market and to have the best opportunity to achieve financial success. Do you believe, in light of the research that you have done and the information that you have seen, that we should also be educating young people about the marriage wage premium and encouraging them to consider the myriad of benefits of entering into a committed, stable marriage relationship, much like we do in encouraging them to attain higher levels of formal education?
Yes, without a doubt. A lot of people, it's about 40% of the population in a poll, thought that marriage was an obsolete and outdated. I think that there are enough studies coming out now, and people on both the right and the left are criticizing this idea of cohabiting now. They're understanding the benefits of marriage. And it is the foundation of our civil society. It's one of the great institutions of our civil society. If you look at the results, again, married men live longer. Married couples actually live longer. One study done by Cancer Research Institute shows that when a male was diagnosed with cancer, if he was married, he had much greater survival rates than those who were single. And we should be promoting this idea of marriage, not just as something you have to do. As Kay Heimovitz says, right now it's viewed as a capstone. It's something I do after I get my career, job, house, and things like that. And she argues it should be a cornerstone. It's the foundation of our civil society and our life. And I do think that not only for the economic reasons, but also the health reasons, married people are more satisfied, they're happier than single people. This should be a big push in our society to encourage marriage.
Well, if you were speaking to a group of young students today and you had an opportunity to just briefly present this message to them, how might you work to communicate the benefits of marriage to them, not only from the standpoint of the marriage wage premium, but also the information that you just shared?
Again, I would talk about the marriage wage premium. Most people, you know, talk about their pocketbooks, are going to be quickly interested. But I also think the happiness part of things. Now, I will say one of the things that happened that encourages more cohabiting and divorce, you know, the divorce rate increased significantly throughout the 70s and then tapered off in the 80s. And you have a generation of kids who grew up in a divorced family, and they didn't see marriage as something that would be satisfying and someone was there to protect me. They saw it as strife and a lot of tension. And they became more reluctant to get married. And I think we've got to deal with another generation of kids to let them understand that it really is important in terms of your happiness, again, health, the emotional support you receive. You have that ability to do that with just the act of marrying. I also think the no-fault divorce has been largely detrimental to promoting this. I would like to go back a bit to where you didn't have the no-fault divorce. You actually had to have a legitimate cause to get divorced. And that, what the reason for that is that increases the long-term stability of the marriage, because now I don't go in with one foot out of the door and one foot in the door. I know I'm committed, and I think that's one thing that we could encourage kids, that this commitment is beneficial to your long-run well-being.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more about that. Dr. Steckbeck, we're out of time for this week, and I want to share with our listeners how they can get a copy of your article, because it is so important, and I think will be of such interest to a lot of folks who are listening to the program. Again, the article is The Marriage Wage Premium, and they can visit the North Carolina Family Policy Council website at www.ncfamily.org. Again, that's ncfamily.org, and click on the latest issue of our magazine, Family North Carolina, and that will direct them to the webpage where they can get a copy of that article. Dr. Mark Steckbeck, thanks so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for your excellent article on the financial benefits of marriage.
Thank you for having me.
Before we close, I'd like to invite you to follow the North Carolina Family Policy Council on Facebook. Just log in and find us at ncfamily.org. Again, at ncfamily.org. Be sure to like us when you visit. In addition, for instant updates on pro-family news of interest, follow us on Twitter at ncfamily.org. Again, that's at ncfamily.org.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-919-919. 800-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.